Hey everybody, it's time to movie.
What?
Yep, it is time to movie, Max.
Movie?
Movie. Stand up and movie with us.
Okay.
Come on, grab your friends, hold hands, it's time to movie.
That's right.
Now spin in a circle really fast.
Until you throw up, that's when you stop.
Throw up on whoever fell down first.
You gotta, like, do this Jackson Pollock thing of the room you're in where you just, like, vomit in, like, a weird arc. It's very expressionistic.
Very expressionistic, and I require blues, so I don't know how you're gonna throw out blue, but I need some blues in there. It just can't be all yellowy oranges.
Some food coloring would work.
But you gotta swallow it and vomit it back up.
Remember tongue splashers?
Oh, yeah, man.
Some tongue splashers? Yeah, if you eat those, you're going to throw up probably because they're too old. You shouldn't be eating those.
Yeah, I don't know what. Where did you even find those, number one?
Yeah.
And number two, why?
Yep, I agree.
Like, finding them? Okay, maybe you came across them, but why did you buy them?
And why'd you eat them?
Were they for sale? Did you pay a premium? Don't pay a premium for tongue splashers.
No. They used to come in a paint can, though.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. Good that marketing. Was cool.
Yeah,
good marketing. Kids, eat paint.
That's right. Oh, the 90s.
Oh, the 90s. What a great time. Grunge and shit.
That's right.
Anyways, Max, I'm going to kick this off.
Oh, please.
I'm going to kick it off talking about a movie, not only from this year, 2020, but a movie I went to the theater to see.
Oh, a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm on point now.
It's a movie. It is a cinematic piece of film. Scenes and stuff into a sequence.
Okay.
Spun really fast in that metal canister thingy. I don't know. I don't know how film works.
It's a tongue splasher can, right?
Tongue splashers. Yeah, the paint can.
Okay,
good. Eat paint, kids.
That's right. Delicious.
Don't do that, kids. You're so stupid if you do that.
That is real dumb.
Also, if you've got your older brother's toys, make sure they're not Chinese lead paint. That'd be bad.
Yep, stop licking toys.
Voltron tastes good. Anywho, I went to the theater with my mother.
Okay.
Because my mother's birthday comes around December, and I said, well, what do you want to do? Let's go do a thing. I'll take you to the movies, and I'll take you to lunch or dinner or whatever. We ended up doing lunch. And she goes, well, I want to bank this. I go, you're going to bank it? She goes, I want to bank it because there's this movie coming out with her favorite actor of all time because she thinks he's a dreamboat. I, of course, went to see, with my mother, The Call of the Wild.
Ah, I know. I know who said Dreamboat is.
Ah, it's Harrison Ford.
Yeah, she's not wrong.
Yeah, he's so dreamy.
He's
pretty jacked in this, too. I don't know if you are aware, he's got jacked.
Nice.
You know, as jacked as was he 60 or something?
Probably older than that, honestly. But
oh, yeah, he might be closer to 70.
Yeah.
He's jacked. He shirt off and looks good. Makes me feel bad about myself.
He had to get in dog shape.
Yeah, gotta get in dog shape. I watched this on February 23rd. Your IMDb minutes, 1 hour 40 minutes. Genre, adventure, drama, family. It's all about family. Directed by Chris Sanders, starring Harrison Ford, Omar Sy, and Kara Gee. Now, you want to talk a short summary. This one's perfect. IMDb summary. A sled dog struggles for survival in the wilds of the Yukon. That's it.
That's it.
This movie is pretty solid, I gotta admit. I actually had a blast watching this movie. Because I had no expectations and, you know, whatever. But here's the thing people forget. It's based on a book. It's a Jack London book who also wrote White Fang. So
yes.
It's like, you know, the dog version of White Fang. The big complaint this movie got isn't that it's bad, because it's not, it's actually really good, is the CGI dog. The CGI dog. The CGI itself isn't actually terrible. This would have been fine, though, to just, why the fuck didn't you just get real dogs?
Right.
I don't understand why you didn't get real dogs. They just wanted the dog to have cutesy mannerisms and facial expressions that aren't natural to a dog. And every time the dog did it, I cringed on the inside. But that being said, this movie is super good. It has some darker moments. It reminded me of a kids' movie I would watch growing up in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, there's some dark moments, but you gotta learn.
Sometimes a horse drowns.
Sometimes a horse... I try you!
Oh, fucking shit. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Man, that whole movie is just so freaky. Anywho, maybe one day we'll do that. Basically, my whole takeaway is the movie was solid. You have kind of the beginning parts where the dog is taken from his owners and beaten, and it has all this awful dog beating stuff, so be aware that's in there. It's not so over the top and disturbing, but it is in there. So, you know, if you're taking children to this, maybe, maybe not. You kind of have to think about that.
Parental guidance suggested.
There it is. But I think the movie overall is super solid. All the dogs in it, I just wish they were fucking real dogs.
That'd be nice.
And it was funny because, like, there's wolves that appear at a certain point, and the wolves look awesome in CGI.
Mm-hmm.
The dogs don't. I don't know if that's because it's, like, generic wolf, and I know, like, I'm supposed to think this is a St. Bernard, or this is a that, or whatever. I don't know.
Makes sense.
But my mother loved this movie. She was so happy with this movie. I'm pretty sure it made her cry.
Nice.
Pretty sure it made me cry at a point. I was like, God damn this fake dog. I just had a blast, and I was so happy that my mother was happy, and the movie wasn't a total shit show like The Hustle was that I took her to.
Fair enough.
Yeah, the big complaint of this movie is the CGI is dumb. I agree the CGI is dumb, but it's not enough for the movie to get shit all over by me. So, IMDb, getting stingy over here. It only got a 6.8. You were shy, IMDb. Shy. Thanks. The Rotten Tomato critics, 62%. That's 186 critics. The audience for the audience, Rotten Tomato audience, 89% out of 9,000 some odd people. I gave it a 7.5.
Nice.
The movie's great. It's one of those rare, you know, younger movies that an adult can enjoy. And it's just beautiful. The countryside they went to, I forget where they filmed, but it's just gorgeous. And it's just really fun, and it's nice to remind yourself you can have fun. Also, bonus points was the exciting part after the movie where I had to tell my mother that that was not a real dog.
Oh, wow.
She goes, no. And I go, yeah, Ma, that's not a real dog. And I think I broke her heart.
Oh, jeez.
And then I said, you know, Harrison Ford's probably not that jacked. And then she was really upset. I go, no, he is that jacked.
Yeah, right?
Not a real dog, Ma.
Not a real dog, but certainly a man in good enough shape he can crash planes and just keep going.
That's like his go-to move.
Yep.
I played a pilot once.
Yep. So, I have a minor theme for both of my movies. Not so much that ties the movies together, but a thing I'm going to talk about with both of these films. And that thing is tone. And the tone of both of these movies really helped me kind of quantify the scores I gave them and why I gave them what I did and how they work and why they don't work in certain regards. So keep that in mind as I proceed through the first of these movies, 1985's Tough Turf.
Tough Turf?
Tough Turf. I watched this in December. It is 1 hour and 52 minutes, and it is a teen drama. It was directed by Fritz Kirsch, and it has Ultron, Iron Man, and Kim Richards in it.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, so the new guy, L.A. High, which is James Spader, does some singing and fights a hotshot over a dancer they both have an affection for. And I did not write that summary, even though it sounds like I did.
I was
going to
say, it almost sounds like you, but then it's not.
Yep, fights a hotshot is definitely something I would write.
Yeah, no, you had me there, but then an affection for.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not you.
No, I don't have any affection.
You'd be like, they wanted to do some things and a boner and then shenanigans.
Right, exactly.
I get you, man.
Yeah.
I get you.
This
I
chick,
get you.
This chick that they would like to hum.
Sometimes you just want to hum.
That's right. Hump-a-dump-a-dump.
Dee-dan.
So, my thoughts on this movie. It is very cliche. It's got, like, every bad cliche from one of these, like, new kid comes to town, has problems with the tough group of kids kind of movies.
Mm.
And it is so tonally inconsistent in its execution.
Okay.
These films are very much about threat escalation, right? Like, it's supposed to be, these two people don't get along. Then one kind of does a thing. And that pisses off the other one, so they push, and then the other one pushes back, and it gets worse and worse.
So they're driving their cars off the side of the gorge.
Right, exactly. And this one starts off insane. The bad tough kids are trying to rob a guy at a bus stop. And James Spader on his bicycle, like way too cool for school, manages to thwart their heist attempt. And then from there, like, this kid fucking sucks. And they don't really see him, but they see this thing on the back of his jacket. And then they identify him the next day, and things get worse. But I mean, like, it just, like, and I mean, like, it involves, like, the heist involves, like, a sword.
Huh.
Like, it's out there. And then it kind of calms down to where they just, like, don't really like each other. Like, I'm gonna fuck up your bike, new kid. And it's like, okay, that's not bad. And then it goes into, like, I have a gun and I'm gonna shoot you in the face. It's like, what the hell is going on in this movie? Like, it's so wild. It wants to try to be fun and laid back and have, like, these good, like, authentic, breathy teen moments. But you're just like, there's already been a gun and, like, people's family members being threatened. Are we supposed to just be stopping to have a good time in the middle of this movie? Like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, the 80s were tough.
It's crazy town, this film. It's so bizarre how back and forth it goes. There's just, like, casual car theft, and it's, like, bonkers. Like, the James Spader's character, who was supposed to be our protagonist, is, like, kind of, like, sleazy and definitely breaks the law a lot. And it's like, are we rooting for this guy? I mean, he's James Spader. He's fucking great. But if it were any other schlub, I'd be like, this sucks. But it's just, it asks too much of you to follow along on this journey that kind of doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. It's not an unfun movie. If you just take the whole thing as kind of just nonsense, it can be, like, I'd have fun watching this and drinking, and it would be a hoot. But I wasn't prepared for that, nor could the movie help me. Like, I couldn't tell if the movie was winking at me or if it was just, like, taking itself real seriously. I didn't know, so I couldn't have fun with you, Tough Turf.
That was a hoot.
IMDb gives this a 6.2 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 6 people went back and reviewed this to a meager 17%. The audience, 3,446 different people, I assume different people, reviewed this to a 59%.
Okay.
I gave this a 5 out of 10.
All right, yeah. Nonsense, the schlub's journey.
That's it.
Ugh. Tough turf, tough turf.
Tough turf, tough turf.
Tough turf with Colin Quinn. Sounds better than actually. Maybe good.
Colin Quinn, I'm in.
Yeah, Colin Quinn, pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good stuff, that guy. Well, Max, my next movie will shock you. It is 1946's Shock. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Shock?
No, but I know the poster.
Yes, it has a good poster.
Yes.
I watched this on the 23rd as well. Wow, I watched 2 movies that day. Good for me.
Yeah.
1 hour and 10 minutes is your IMDb minutes. Genre film noir and thriller. Directed by Alfred L. Worker.
Okay.
Starring Vincent Price, Lynn Bari, and Frank Latimer. Your summary: a psychologically distraught woman is committed to a sanitarium by the man she witnessed commit a murder. This movie is going to be hard for, I think, you know, the younger crowd. I just always feel that way with older movies. I love older movies.
Me too.
Vincent Price, this is a early Vincent Price. Like, I'm so used to him from, like, his horror kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He's actually, like, a good-looking dude in this. Like, he's kind of heartthrobby.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which, like, you don't get from any of his other movies.
No, as he gets older, he definitely became the more creepy, sinister guy. But, yeah, he was a heartthrob back in the day.
Yeah, so it's kind of an interesting thing. So this is more, I don't know how realistic this really could be, but it's more like the idea of what would you do in this scenario.
Right.
Where this woman is staying at a hotel. She is waiting for her husband to return, and they're going to meet up. And she hasn't seen her husband in a while. He's been out to war. He's been out to war. Just out for some war.
It's out to lunch. Out to lunch, out to war.
Out to lunch, out to war. Be back after I bum some people. Basically, he's coming back from war. She's ecstatic. She cannot wait, which would be normal, but he was thought to be dead, so she's even more excited. She's like, oh my God, they found him, and he's coming, and they're going to meet up at wherever. She is waiting for him, and he's supposed to arrive sometime in the night or in the morning. She's out on the balcony, and she witnesses this man murder his wife. They're having an argument, and he just brains her over the head.
Okay.
So, and that is your Vincent Price character. She loses it. She absolutely loses it and she goes almost comatose, where she just complete shock, right? Hence the title. The husband comes. He's like, what happened? I don't understand what happened. They say, oh, there's a doctor in the hotel. It's that guy. He goes. He's like, oh, my God. He figures out that she saw, because she has a reaction to him.
Right.
And his whole scheme is to get her committed so she can't tell anyone reliably that he murdered his wife.
Interesting.
It, you know, for a simple plot, it goes a while and it stays fairly interesting, you know, with him trying to constantly lie and cover things up, the husband kind of trying to get her out of there.
Right.
At first he's like, maybe this is for the best, and then he's like, I don't understand. The assistant nurse who's in on it is such a bitch. She is great.
That's awesome.
You know, a bitch for 1940s, where it's just like, yeah, no, let's do this thing. We're going to fucking murder this woman. This is great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, she's really good. The movie's a good thriller movie. And as far as like older movies, I feel like this would appeal a little better to the younger crowd than some of its contemporaries. Like, it's a simple premise, but it deals with mental health. It deals with things that are kind of big now, you know?
Right.
How do you treat people? And it's a real world thing. You can understand this, even though it's a little over the top with the consistency of it throughout the movie. I think it's a pretty solid performance all across the board. And Vincent Price was more unknown at this time, so it was really cool to see him learning how to act, so to speak.
It was a pre-stash, right?
I think he, yeah, it was pre-stash, but did he have a small stash at this point? I think at one point he had, like, a little stash.
Okay, nice.
But yeah, he was more or less pre-stash.
That's, yeah.
Iconic stash, anyways.
Pre-stash.
IMDb. Pre-stash what?
Pre-stash Price.
Pre-stash Price. Gotta love that pre-stash Price.
That's right.
Yes! IMDb. 6.3.
Okay.
Critical, Rotten Tomatoes, nobody did it. This is why we got to get on there, Rotten Tomatoes.
For reals.
The audience. Now, what do you think the audience gave it?
I'm going to go with a 74%.
Nope. 440 people reviewed it and gave it a 37.
Oh, geez.
I really think this is another example of this movie's old. I don't get it. Boo. Black and white, boo. Yeah. And I hate that shit.
Me too.
This movie, I gave it a 6.5. I thought it was great.
Awesome.
And I don't think it's anything you could really argue with. I mean, if you don't like the movie, then it's probably not your cup of tea to begin with, but you shouldn't, you know, rag on the movie for that.
Right. It's not the movie. The movie didn't do anything wrong. It just didn't jive because it's an older film that you didn't care for.
Right. And that's nonsense, I say.
Suck it, you youngsters.
Oh, man, that'll get you in trouble.
Up yours, children. So, speaking of youngsters, I watched this movie when I was a youngster. It came out in 1995.
Okay.
It is one of my favorite, I recognize, fully recognize, I guess this is my little disclosure statement, I recognize that this movie is not what you would consider to be a good film.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, this movie fucking rocks, and I am talking about Hackers.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I watched this in December 2019. It is 1 hour and 47 minutes, and it is a thriller crime movie. It is directed by Ian Softley, and it stars Johnny Lee Miller, Angelina Jolie, Matthew Lillard, and Fisher Stevens. Also, Penn Jillette's in there.
Yeah, Penn Jillette.
The summary of this movie, very short, I did not write it. Hackers are blamed for making a virus that will capsize 5 oil tankers.
Whoa.
Which is true. That is what it's about. Bullet point thoughts on this movie. So it's tough for me to evaluate this without just kind of defending it. But I will get to the tone part of what I was talking about before. But the characters in this movie are so fucking likable. They're so over the top. They're everything about this movie is completely over the goddamn top. I don't know what the hell that the director was on, but the choices that are in this movie are absurd. The color palette's ridiculous. The lighting is extreme constantly for no reason. Everything is so slick and overly stylized. Like, we need our lead in a leather jacket, but it's got to be a really crazy leather jacket with all these, like, interesting, like, flares and things on it. Matthew Lillard's character is totally fucking batshit. It is so good. And the thing that really ties it together is the film tonally is as extreme as it gets, but it's unapologetic and never, like, looks at itself critically. It's like it takes it fully seriously that it is fucking nuts.
It's that's so good.
It's so ridiculous. They're like little names for each other, like their cool hacker names and shit are all fucking ridiculous. Like Angelina Jolie's is Acid Burn, and the main character played by Johnny Lee Miller's Crash Override. Ooh. And his or his previous name when he was a kid because he got in trouble for hacking was Zero Cool. Like, it's ridiculous. There's two characters that are hackers that have a TV show. One's called Razor and one's called Blade.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Fisher Stevens' character is fucking absurd and so infinitely likable as a trashy bad guy. It's He thinks he's so fucking cool, and it's terrific. His performance is great. Like, this dude is so buying into his own hype. It is tremendous.
That's so good. You gotta own it.
The hacking in this movie is nonsense. They portray hacking by basically virtually flying around a city of data. It's ridiculous. It's basically like the show Reboot.
Okay.
It is so over the top and so far from, like, they were just like, we need to make this interesting. There is a shot where they're hacking from Grand Central Station in New York, and they're using payphones, if you recall payphones. I know you do, Tim. Oh, yeah. But they had the full glass booth payphones, and for whatever reason, in the middle of this montage of them hacking, they really needed a bunch of shots of the phone booth moving and spinning while they were in it. That's how crazy this movie is visually. It's such an interest for me. It's so interesting because it's like, what the hell am I watching constantly? It's bonkers. It's so weird. It's such a mundane, like, somebody just typing in a computer is so mundane, and they're just like, let's make this as bizarre and visually interesting as possible. It's nuts. It is just that's the great Technicolor tongue splasher vomit of cinema. And I fucking love every second of this movie. It is so goddamn ridiculous. It's also the movie that introduced me to the PlayStation game Wipeout, which I'm a big fan of.
Wipeout, nice. Yeah.
So IMDb gave this a 6.3, which seems to be a theme. Rotten Tomatoes critics. 45 critics reviewed it to less than that many percent, 33%.
Yep.
The audience, 122,293 people watched this film and rated it 68%.
Nice.
Bad news for everybody. You're fucking wrong. This movie is an 8 out of 10. This movie is fucking terrific. And if you can't get on this goddamn train, too fucking bad. You're not hacking the Gibson with me, you fucking goddamn plebe.
Plebe.
All right, everybody, go hack the planet. Get the fuck out.